Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me as always, the Pedro to my Napoleon and the Smacker to my Simoleon, it's Dan.
Good evening again, Scott. Feels like just yesterday we were podcasting.
As a matter of fact, it was. I can't remember the last time that you and I podcasted back-to-back nights. I know there was a while there it seemed to be par for the course, but it has been a while since that's happened.
Or the 1 week where we recorded five nights.
Oh my god, was that during the Mad Men era or something like that?
Yep, that was a Mad Men thing.
Oh my god, I'm very pleased that those days aren't with us anymore. But but we've gotten better at our game as well, I think.
Yep.
Well, I suppose we don't have to go over the entire history, and we probably can introduce our guest host for the night, unless you have anything else to go over first.
No, not just yet.
Okay, well, I guess from Chicago, Illinois, we have the woman who walked into the election booth planning to vote for Clinton and then decided to vote for Trump because she thought Jason might want her to do that. Vicky?
Hi. Oh, my gosh.
And speaking of Jason, the walking 40-some-year-old dad joke who has a life and the rest of us don't. How are you doing tonight, Jason?
I am sick of all this winning.
Good. Good. And I guess that's everybody, so let's talk about this episode of Supergirl. Oh, and Cade.
I was just happy not to talk. I was fine with it. I was going in. I was just going to let it go.
Wow, Cade, you got the Jason treatment.
Finally, I'm not the only one.
Oddly enough, I'm okay with it. I'm not going to fight it.
Okay, maybe I'll switch you two in my mind tonight, like the old days when I used to get you two confused. So we are back here to talk about this week's slate of CW DC superhero shows. But first, because we brought it up in a previous podcast, I did want to spend at least 2 minutes or less on last week's series premiere of Powerless. Now, Vicky, I know you watched it, so I'm going to give you 1 minute to give your take on the show, starting now.
Okay, I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty funny. The humor was very good. And all the Batman and superhero references were cute, though I think maybe they shouldn't just always stick with the Batman references. Maybe a few other DC references would be good to incorporate the show, because it's not just Batman on the show. But so far I have high hopes for it.
All right, minutes up. But you actually made it in time. I didn't get to cut you off. God damn it, really wanted to cut you off.
Yeah, I wanted to cut her off too, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
I'll confess I got distracted that someone fell out of her call and fell back in, so whatever. For me, I would say for this show, I like the opening credit sequence. It's really cool if you're even a comic book fan, because you'll recognize a lot of lesser-known comic book covers outside of Action Comics number one. They use like a really great Flash cover from 1981 that was drawn by one of my favorite artists. Had Firestorm in it, they're fighting the Atomic Skull, all this kind of crap. You know why I'm spending so much time talking about the credit sequence? Because I thought the rest of the show, kind of sucked. It was just, I just stared at it like, yeah, I'm waiting to laugh. I was hoping there could be a laugh track just to guide me to laugh, even. I think it was a really amusing sounding concept, but a very bland execution. I know my DVR taped it tonight. I don't know if I'm going to bother watching it unless someone, twists my arm. So it's a big nay for me right now. So there you have it. You have two very different opinions. Do what you will with those. So a bigger yay is moving on to the reasons why we're here, or maybe not, come to think of it. So let's kick things off, oh boy, with Supergirl. Now first, a super fast recap of this week's episode, which was titled The Martian Chronicles. Last week, as would be the case with most episodes of Supergirl, Kara took center stage in terms of storyline and focus, but this week, the Maid of Might was really more of a side player. And let's be honest, did anyone really like the storylines that were more Kara-centric this week? I mean, first, you had the, he likes me, but I don't like him. Oh, but are you sure you don't like him? Oh, I don't know if I like him. Maybe I should talk to him. Oh, crap, he's already with someone else. Oh, now I'm going to pout because now I really do like him. cliche-ridden nonsense between Kara and Mon-El. And if that wasn't bad enough, this downright contrived notion that although Kara's been on this earth and brought up as Alex's sister for the past 13 years, this presumably mature adult is going to be all Miss Mopey-Dopey because her sister is seeing someone now and might not be able to be on call for her 24 hours a day, the way she has been for the previous 13 years. So Kara's basically asking, like, someone who hasn't been able to get over not making going to her junior prom or something. I don't know. So to hell with all that, we can talk about it later. This one is really about the Martians. The white Martians want McGann brought back to Mars to answer for her war crimes. So naturally, they send her ex-husband, because that's not weird or creepy at all. Cutting to the chase, we end up in lockdown at the DEO playing Who's the White Martian? Now, thanks to their ability to shapeshift, it's a little bit of a play on John Carpenter's The Thing, with only much worse actors, even using a flame to reveal who the evil alien might be. But we do get the fun of seeing an evil win, who I still have a suspicion could be a bad guy at some point later in this season or in the future. Or maybe we'll meet an evil win twin or something, I don't know. But we also find out there's not just one white Martian here. There's two, or maybe there's three. I actually kind of lost track because I was playing Words with Friends while I was watching this. Anyway, after killing off the white Martians that came back together, McGann decides the best idea is, hey, you know what, I'm going to go back to Mars after all, whatever that reasoning was. She shares some of goodbye scene with John that felt a little odd and creepy as the whole ex-husband thing. I know there's only 8 years difference between these two actors, thank you IMDb, but I guess it was the comic book knowledge seeping into the extent I still see these two more having a father-daughter relationship or uncle-niece than anything romantic. And, you know what? Yeah, that was pretty much it for Supergirl this week. So, topic.
All right, let's get to the ratings and move on.
wait till I slam another show this podcast. Well, let's make our way through topic number one, which was the Martians, the white, the green, whatever. Cade, do you have any strong feelings one way or another about how the Martian storyline was handled this week?
Yeah, I really hated it. Of all the buildup, they were talking about the white Martians are coming, they're trying to get her, and then they just sent two of them to bring her back. Of all the things you could have done, I understand invasion storylines are pretty big. They could be hard to pull off, but at least it could have been more than just two white Martians who just immediately start pretending to be other people and hiding themselves, and you get the box episode, which is not even really good. You getting all this mistrust with characters you don't even know, so you can't even say, well, I don't believe that one's the one. So there's a lot of things that were put in place that don't work because we don't know anyone else in the DEO. We don't know who those two that were bickering back and forth. So I can't go, well, that's got to be the one. It's like, I don't care who you are. Can we move on? And that's where so the A storyline just falls apart, and I didn't care because I'm not invested in anyone who they tried to play in as a Martian at that point. And then you just add a second Martian reveal, which really felt like this is a way we can add further to that, to the Kara and Alex storyline by having another Martian pretend to be her and she reveals her feelings. It's like, that was dumb. That only served to fit this shitty other story that I didn't care about anymore. So you took what could have just been interesting and having a second Martian appear and just attack them that they didn't realize and just used it for your dumb purpose to spread the second B storyline further. Why? In my head, I'm like, I've read Martian storylines they've done before with white Martians, and they so much better they could have used than what they did in this episode. Garbage.
I'm not going to disagree with any of that. Vicky, you're usually a ray of sunshine. I'm kind of curious to hear your take now.
I didn't totally hate it, but I'll just say that they could have done it differently. Like, I agree that it was a little underwhelming in how they pulled it off, because she was terrified in the previous episode, oh, they're coming, and it's just two of them.
It's like,
ooh. So it's a little anticlimactic.
Yeah.
So
a little bit. Dan, do you want to dump on it now, or do you want to wait till the next topic?
Yeah, I'd like to dump on it now, please, if you guys don't mind. Yeah, you've covered it pretty well. It's just, you know, so cliche ridden, but really, really poorly executed. The last time I've seen a TV episode that was like this, it's a season 3 finale of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and it was just like so much better than this crap. I mean, it was just bad. Nobody could act, especially like the Canadian like extras that they got to play, like, you know, generic Asian DEO agent one and like, you know, Latina agent two that we don't care about. It was just nobody could act. It was just bad. Nothing. I had no idea what was going on, how many Martians there was. It's terrible. It fucking sucked.
All right. I don't disagree with anything you guys have said. You guys have pretty much nailed it to the wall as far as the Martian storyline is concerned. I'll just add that while I don't mind them not having an entire invasion, because we just had an alien invasion storyline just a couple months ago, this was not the way to go about this. This was extremely anticlimactic. They did a better job with the white Martian stuff last season, quite frankly, than this. This just smacked of lameness all around. And in my opinion, that was actually one of the better parts of the episode, because the rest of the episode I really despised. which is basically everything else. The Kara Mon-El stuff, the Karen Alex stuff. Do any of you want to weigh in on this? Do you want me just to rip it apart on your behalf? Whatever you want. It really made me angry this week.
I have something I'd like to say about it. It actually addressed most of the shows on the CW for Superheroes this week. Oh. I am seeing more and more that the one thing these writers of all these shows have no ability to write are relationships. Or starting relationships. And if they start off badly and they're like, oh, that's not, they put it away for three episodes, bring it back hoping people have forgotten or don't care, and try to do it again. Kara and Mon-El, no one cares about that, them having a relationship. We didn't care the first time you tried it. Why are you bringing it back up? Because it makes for shitty stories. Other shows where relationships are trying to be seeded. We don't need them in the show. I understand you think you have to have them because your network or demographic you're going for, but you clearly cannot handle doing relationships that entertain, work, or seem realistic. They are almost always forced and forced very badly. Even if you forced it, but I could go, okay, I like those two together playing off, but that doesn't ever happen. They force two characters together who don't have any chemistry, and you're just staring at two blank walls talking, and it bores the crap out of me, and I wish they would stop it.
Okay, I have to wipe the venom off my face that comes spitting through the computer there. Vicky? I really love the idea of having Vicky follow Kate in this again.
Oh, no, I'm just going to say, I didn't care about the Kara Mon-El thing, that was just whatever, because that was just then spillover from last episode, but, I don't know, my biggest problem with the Kara and Alex thing was she just seemed very whiny about it, because she was kind of implying that she's never been apart from her sister, which is very odd considering probably at least one of them went away to college and got like an advanced degree or something. Mm-hmm. So it was just very whiny and odd. And I think it was a lot out of character of Kara for me, but whatever.
Right. It just both these storylines were the epitome of forced, contrived, and nonsensical crap they were the epitome of what I don't want to see on any of these shows. And I've seen a lot of good episodes of Supergirl, both this season and last season. And you know, like I know other folks haven't seen all of them, like Dan or Jason or whoever. But this episode, in so many ways, was like 10 steps backwards all of a sudden, which for me is kind of a theme this week. But we'll get to that later on in this podcast. But, I just was getting angrier about everything in this episode the more it went on, quite frankly.
No, you're just jealous because you want VIP tickets to a bare naked ladies concert.
Please, I don't get me started. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about that. An ex of mine was really a big bare naked ladies fan. She kept talking about it.
God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's really inappropriate for me to talk about that. So can we just get to the scorecard so we can move things along here?
Yes, please.
Yeah. By the way, when I say that, I'm never really asking. I'm actually telling you guys that. So, scorecard time. Vicky, what beautiful grade do you plan to give Supergirl this week?
Let's beat her down to something else.
No, shit.
I'll give it a 3.
Cade.
1.5.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Dan?
I'm also going to give it a 1.5. Because it was really bad.
Well,
Jason? You're not going to bother watching it. Just give it a grade so I can get it marked off.
I will give it... I'm not going to give it a 6. No.
please do. Let's have that on record that you gave this a 6.
I'll just go ahead and give it a 2.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yep.
A number that in any other world, in any other reckoning would be great, is here is awful. Supergirl, you get a 1. So... Let's attempt, we'll see, to take this into a higher gear with The Flash. Now, I'm going to try for a lightning fast recap of this week's episode, titled Untouchable, but I expect I'm going to get a little bit bogged down, so pardon me as I go along here. We start off with Barry is literally trying to get Wally up to speed. They're racing, they're training, they're doing all sorts of things they should have been doing weeks ago, including trying to teach Wally how to phase through solid objects. You know, in classic, and then of course, in classic circular storytelling tradition, you know that's being an issue in the beginning of the episode means it's going to be how Wally saves the day by the end of the episode. But anyone watching an episode like this one should be able to attest originality isn't really the writer's strong suits, because over the course of the hour, you can predict almost every Flash episode staple that we're going to get here. We're going to get the Barry Allen pep talk, the insistence on keeping a secret that will later be broken by the same person, the Joe West, I'm so disappointed in you, you should know better speech, and so on. However, we do get our meta of the week. It's Clive Yorkin, who's such a footnote of a comic book villain that he doesn't even get a cool name from Cisco or HR. Come on, guys. Everything the guy touches dies or turns to dust. You couldn't come up with a cool name for that? Now, it turns out he's one of the villains that Alchemy tinkered with in the post-Flashpoint timeline. So now he's back hunting all the cops who caught him back in the Flashpoint days of old because, well, I guess because they had the nerve to arrest him before, and now he's going to kill them? I wasn't really clear about that, what the whole big deal was. Anyway, eventually they do figure out a way to beat the bad guy, and as said before, phasing plays a big part for both Barry and Wally, while also saving Iris, who got the Medusa touch from this douchebag earlier in the episode. Meanwhile, Caitlin has to restrain her killer frosty urges while keeping her arm on ice. Iris's arm, I mean. But luckily, Julian trades in his typically tactless ways for one of those patented Team Flash inspirational, you can do this, you're the strongest person I know kind of speeches. I'm thinking maybe Julian doesn't really know that many people at all. And damn it, are they now going to put these two together? Oh, Jesus. So once that happened, we realized he's probably not going to make it to season 4 if he's going to hook up with the Black Widow over there. So that's about it. I mean, other than maybe the coolest thing about the entire episode was the tease at the end, where Little Miss Jessie Quick pops through the interdimensional breach with the news that her dad has been kidnapped by Gorilla Grodd and taken to Gorilla City. Woo-hoo. Looking forward to that. So, let's start off with the first topic. Let's deal with, you know, all the Barry and Wally stuff. And, you know, we can also, just dealing with the meta threat this week, Clive Yorkin. So, Jason, since you weren't able to participate in our shredding of Supergirl, you can lead us off with the conversation about The Flash.
I have to tell you, I was expecting them to come up with, say, some cool name for him that I could not recall from the comics for Clive Yorkin, and I was left a little wanting that they just left it as that, that it's Clive Yorkin. Fantastic name. We did get to see Alex Desert. Is that how you say his name?
No, Desert? It's not, but it's okay.
Deseret, whatever.
No, the accent's on the E, on the first E, but come on.
It's cool to see him again. It's the second time we've seen him this year from Flashpoint. Even though he does get got. Well, he's from the original TV show.
Yeah, I'm just saying, explain why it's cool, people. Okay, go on.
Yeah, because he's from the original TV show. And too bad he gets killed, but, you know, evidently he's still out there in other worlds, so yay for that, like we're ever going to see him again.
There's always Becker.
Yeah. I never watched that show. Fuck that show.
Better than this. There's, go on.
We did get to see one cool thing that Barry does, and that's vibrate the train. That was awesome. I like that. So that was worth something.
Okay. Cade?
Huh. Remember how we talked about it'd be nice if Flash had, like, you know, a recurring villain who would pop up so we didn't have lame villains of the week? This would have been one of those episodes. We could have used that. This, besides his power, which was actually quite cool, which they should have just come up with someone new and attached it to, that character was so terrible because, again, no motivations, no real motivations that we have, so you don't care about him as a villain whatsoever. You're hoping they get rid of him. And it wasn't even, it was a terrible story just to push the phasing thing. Like, that was the whole setup. It wasn't like he was a villain outside of, we need someone where they have to phase through him. Oh, we'll use this random character. And the point of point A to point B, we have to come up with something to make those two things meet. Let's just do this, is a very terrible thing to do. Phasing could have still been something you could have used. You could have taught Wally from Barry. But doing it this way and having to, at the last moment, you have to do it to fight this guy to help save her sister. It's like, this is bad. Like, when Barry learned powers in season one, it was interesting when he learned them. When they're trying to teach them to Wally, you don't care that he's learning them. They're taking a lot of fun out of what could be fun about Wally learning his powers and just stripping it away and making it just... it's terrible. It's not exciting. It's not interesting when they do it. You make the character of Barry, who you try to like, just come off as ineffectual when he's trying to do this, because instead of just going, I really don't know how to teach you, let's try to work together, he keeps trying to be this mentor that he's no good at being. Like, he picked up nothing from the other two wells despite talking about them. He's picked up really no way that they did it, one by practically trying to kill him most of the time and one by just being an ass to him. I'm not saying he has to do that, but at least that got him to move his powers and push himself along, which he is not doing at all with Wally. Wally basically almost like falls into being able to do things, or the only one really pushing Wally and trying to at least do anything with him is HR. And he really can't teach him anything because he doesn't know about the Speed Force. So it was another episode with a bad villain and Wally learning nothing really. Except to, oh, and the, right when you're about to have to do it, you'll suddenly be able to do the power, which is a bad way to learn powers, because you could basically be killed before you figure it out with the right villain.
Hey, Dan.
Yep.
Would you like to weigh in on this? I wasn't expecting a case of vitriol there, so. What a surprise.
Well, I really have no complaints about any of this. I enjoyed pretty much everything in the storyline. I thought the villain's power was kind of cool, and even if his motivations were a little, odd, they're no worse than, like, you know, let's go rob 1.5 banks for some reason this episode. So, and I thought the actor was okay.
Well, at least robbing banks means you get money.
Yeah. I think his whole motivation was that he got humiliated one time because he got caught.
He got humiliated.
Yes, but the thing is, he didn't get humiliated. This other version of him got humiliated. It's not even saying that he's the one who got humiliated.
Well, Alchemy, you know, is good at making people get all, like, pissy about how they were in another reality. So we didn't insist that that happened weeks ago off screen. I'm not a big egomaniac, but I can see how somebody like that would be all freaking hot and bothered.
Well, basically, doing a little bit of research in between, after seeing the episode, realizing that this is pretty much as lame-o a character as there has been in the DC universe to begin with, it's not really much of a surprise that it turned out to be really crappy on the show as well. He's got like one. He's another one of these footnotes that really don't really add up to much, which is why he doesn't even have a real villain name or anything. So that should have told us something right there. Vicky, do you want to weigh in here, or do you want to wait till we get to the next topic? It's up to you.
All I'm going to say is, I don't know, how about Decay? That would have been a good, good name good for him.
Name. Bravo, Vicky, for doing something they couldn't.
How about Dr. K? No, anyway. So
I don't know. Dr. DK would be pretty cool.
Or we could call him Decade. He could be the new Shkade.
Never.
Oh, that's where we'll be inserting the crickets later. So, topic number two would be about secrets being revealed. You know, namely, you know, Joe West finding out about Iris's impending death. And, you know, what the heck? Let's talk about, if you want to talk about it, the stuff going on with Caitlin and Julian. Oh, God, I don't even want to think about it. So, I'm going to force this on you instead, Vicky. So, I know what I'm expecting to hear. Let's see if you live up or down to my expectations here.
Okay. All I'm going to say, bravo for them finally cluing Joe in on the big ol' secret, which wasn't that... Okay, it was kind of a huge secret, but still. And, okay, so they have this promise now. They're not going to lie to each other again or hide things from each other. Let's see how long that lasts. Because it doesn't last for usually, if they go with the pattern of the show, it isn't going to last before long before something like that happens again and they're hiding something and blah, blah, blah. I don't have a huge problem with Caitlin and Julian. I'm trying not to see where they're trying to take this. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Because we've been getting that sense for a little while now, and then the whole business with the drink at the end made me go, no. Can't you do something with them being fully realized characters and make them better without just like, oh, we'll make them interesting if they're interacting with each other in that way? It's like, no, that's not how life is. That's not what you do.
What would have been more interesting is to see them interact having that drink, I think.
I guess... maybe it'll be interesting to see them, I don't know, doing their jobs, doing something they're good at, being interesting. And they had part of that for the episode. And then they kind of like, but no, people want to see this other crap. No, we don't. No, I don't. I don't think you, I don't, and I don't honestly think you do either. You know?
I do.
Okay, next then.
I actually did enjoy seeing them working together on that and doing their job. That was interesting.
Yeah, not this crappily written, you know, mawkish fucking relationship crap that I just has yet to work with that character on this show. I mean, Caitlin, that is. So Dan, you can go next here if you want to contradict and whatnot.
What are we talking about again? Oh, the revealing secrets.
We had such a good podcast last night. There we go.
I didn't mind any of this either. The only thing in the episode I really didn't like was how they reverted Iris to being all like weak and scared again. Yeah. Even though last week she's just like, oh, you know, I'm gonna go do some cool stuff, and then for half this episode she's just like, oh, I'm gonna die soon. Wah. So that was kind of annoying. But at least they got the secret reveal, you know, over and done with again.
Yeah,
for us.
Again and again.
Oh yeah.
Again. Oh. Yeah. I think my title for this episode has been there, done that. Not untouchable. Cause I'm just so tired of it.
Well, maybe they can get it right. You know, Oliver isn't holding on to a lot of secrets anymore. So maybe they can get some kind of dynamic like that working on this show eventually.
I wish it was just a matter of the secrets that was bugging me right now, and this with this episode specifically, and just because it brings to light a lot of the problems with the show. Like, it's just it's created its own series of repetitive tropes that I've seen over and over and over, and the irony is we're dealing with a show that has a character who's always like zipping back and forth in time and seeing or repeating events. And the show does that as well. It's like, oh, we're going to have this again. We're going to have this speech again. We're going to have this inspired. Like, don't they? I even think the actors would be like, really? I have to have this kind of line again or this kind of scene again? They do it over and over on this fucking show. I swear to you, between now and the next podcast, I can fucking document it. I'll give you fucking 12 or 15 other episodes they did the same goddamn thing in. And I know why I'm being negative this week, because I saw like a really great show this week, and it's making me realize how bad some other shows can be. It's like, do something different. Do something better. That's all. Sorry. Just a little.
I think it's an accurate representation of the comic medium. I mean, they do tend to do this, you know, make do the same things over and over and over again, just not always as entertaining
You know what? Falling back on the source material as the excuse, good or bad, is just shitty. It's like when people knock The Walking Dead. Oh, the comic book. It's like, the comic book is bad and the TV show is bad. It's not an excuse for the writers there. They didn't hire the comic book writers to do the TV show. You know, bad is bad, whatever the reasoning is behind it. Anyway.
Okay.
Told you I was going to be real negative this podcast. Yeah. Jason, do you have anything to say on this, or do you want to move on?
I don't really have a whole lot to say to it. You are right. The show is falling into the same old, over and over again. It would be nice to bust free and do something new. That's why I've actually preferred watching Legends more than this show, and I freaking love this show when it first started. And now I'm looking forward to see what they do next week. I mean, not next week, but
21st.
When the show comes back, when we get to see the gorillas again, because Gorilla Grodd, he's always fun. They always have something special in mind with him. So let's see that.
Oh, I'm absolutely, just by knowing the basic. What they're doing with that, I mean, first of all, it's a two-parter. That's already something different for this show. You know, it's going to be on a parallel Earth. We're going to have, you know, the other. It's like, oh, look, they're doing something different. I mean, we went into this season already annoyed, like, really? The major big bad is another speed force speedster, whatever the fuck you want to call it, kind of a thing. Oh, here we go again with something along those lines again. And look, oh, here's a third version of Wells. Here we go again with this kind of thing. And just, oh, and then the pattern of, oh, now Wally has to train the way Barry did. We're going to repeat those patterns and all these different speeches and all these different secrets. I'm like, and I'm, you know, I'm a huge Flash fan. I have cut this show more slack than anybody at times because of my bias towards it, you know? But at a certain point, I gotta like take a step back. Especially, you know, we've been talking all podcast season, so to speak, about how this show is often, you know, the third or fourth best of the week. Quite often, and funny thing is, it was by far not the worst this week. But something about this episode, I was giving it kind of a so-so grade, and I realized that's the problem with this show more often than not. It's not that it's awful. It's just so-so. It's just not, but it could be and should be so much better than it is, and it's frustrating that it's not.
Yeah, times. It really doesn't have the quality of the first season, and really even some of the episodes from last season.
Yeah, I mean, I bet this upcoming two-parter will be a lot of fun, and we'll probably really enjoy it, and that'll be great. But I am worried that we're gonna, you know, revert right back to the way things have been, and to top it all off, I don't know if I should bring this up or not. I'll say it this way. There's a theory going around that I became aware of on another group page about something that might happen this season. And I read it, and it's horribly plausible. And it actually it upset me, because as much as I'm having a lot of issues this season, this would really be an upsetting turn of events, although it would be something different, sort of. It's just regarding the potential death of a character on the show, which one can say they've actually dropped hints about during the course of the season. I just didn't think of it until I read this article, and I was like, oh yeah, that kind of makes a lot of sense. God damn it. Do any of you guys know what I'm talking about, or am I just...
I don't think I do.
Not a clue.
Nope.
All right, all I'm going to say, and I'm assuming maybe you don't want me to say what it is. I don't know.
I'm fine if you say it.
Say it if I want you to say it, so he can tell us later.
I'm confused. Do you want me to say it or not?
Yes.
I'm not clear here. Okay. There's a big theory going around that Joe West is going to be the one to die this season. And that you know, it's all the subterfuge that we think that, you know, because of the, you know, the future thing with Iris being impaled or stabbed, whatever. Oh, she's the one who must fall. It's like, no, it's going to be Joe West, because what, and one of the little things that's been news events that comes up, if you look and they've talked about it, it's like Joe West honored at the museum.
Yeah.
You don't know the very, it's very ambiguous. You think, oh, he's getting some award, but it also could be, you know, that a tribute is being paid to him. It's a posthumous kind of a thing. And apparently there's been all these other little things that, you know, people are knitting together saying, it's going to be Joe West. It really feels like it's going to be Joe West. And now I was watching this episode and listening to his dialogue. I keep going, oh God, they could be going in that direction. But I keep thinking he's just too popular on the show and too likable and too much of a mainstay that I can't see that they would do that. But so we'll see. I hope it's not true, because I really like Jesse L. Martin. You know, I loved him on Law and Order, and I love him on this show. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen.
I'm hoping it's not true, so we don't have to deal with another season of Barry, I Lost a Parent.
Exactly.
Because that's what we get
concern.
At.
That's my concern.
That's what about. I was going to go with. I was going to say it's been at least a year since Barry's lost a father figure.
Well, he has to. Well, doesn't he have to lose a parent every season?
Yeah, apparently.
Because technically he loses, you know, one can say he loses his mother in the first season.
You know? Yeah.
Yes.
Sort of. And then how many times did he lose his mother? I don't know, 3, 4?
He's lost her a couple of times.
12? No, this show doesn't repeat things at all. No. All right. So, but I am looking forward to Grodd, so there's that. All right, let's get to the scorecards then. Vicky, what did you think of this week's Flash grade-wise?
I'll give it a 3.5.
All right. I'm afraid to ask, but Cade?
2.
Son of a bitch. Jason?
3.
Dan.
I'm going to break our rules, and I'm going to give it a 4.75. I thought it was the episode that I liked most this season, and while the Iris being weak again wasn't, you know, it's understandable, but not consistent storytelling or narratively satisfying, so I can't give it a perfect rating, but I thought they used the entire ensemble in really good ways this week, which is, it was a rarity for the show, and I enjoyed you know, I enjoyed it, including the cool little teaser at the end, which I wasn't expecting.
Cool. All right, this one of all four, this one was the toughest one for me, because I will say there were scenes that I really liked in it. You know, I really loved the whole phasing train thing, and I did like the acting wise of Joe West getting really pissed off, even if I felt like I've seen that before. But otherwise, a lot of it felt like they were spinning their wheels with what was a fairly ordinary episode otherwise. I'm going to be probably a little bit more generous than I think I should be here. I will give it a 3, although I'm really close to giving it a 2.5. But I keep thinking about the parts I did like, and it's like, okay, they're enough to push me to a 3. And then my Flash bias is coming in, so I'll give it a 3. All right, so next we have what's been oftentimes the surprise of their CW lineup this season, Legends of Tomorrow.
Seriously, you idiots have been figuring this out by now. It all started when we blew up the time pigs, the time masters. Now history's all screwed up, and it's up to us to unscrew it up. But half the time we screw things up even worse. So don't call us heroes, we're something else. We're legends. Who writes this crap anyway?
Seriously, as good as Damian Dark's intro was last week, I think Rory one-upped him this week and then some. So I will try not to waste too much time with the recap here, especially since I know I went a little bit long with the Flash one there. Well, the team travels back to Christmas Eve, 1776, to try to stop the now evil Rip Hunter from murdering George Washington. Along the way, Rip sets off one of those handy-dandy EMP-style doohickeys which zaps any technology for miles around. So thus, the Wave Rider is rendered mostly inert, with no Gideon. Martin and Jax can't use their device to become Firestorm, and Ray is stuck as his miniature self on the run from Ratatouille in the ventilating systems of the ship. Now, Rip shoots Sarah, so she's near death once again, which, for a Lance, is like us being near our next birthday, apparently. Rory gets captured with George Washington, whose performance is as wooden as his teeth, and Nate and Maya end up... I'm not even going to recap that part. So, of course, Sarah doesn't die, neither does George Washington, but Rip does make off with another big piece of the Spear of Destiny, and Jax discovers if Sarah does ever die again, and provided Rip does not ever come back, I should say, hey, you know what, maybe he can be team leader. All right. Anyway, so that's enough of that recap. Let's get into the first topic of the evening for this episode. Let's get into the evil Rip Hunter. We can talk about the scenes and his interaction with Sarah, Jax, and so on. So, Kate, I know you've been high on Legends so far this season. So, what did you think of Rip, etc. here?
Well, not as terrible as everything else I've complained about tonight. The problem with Rip this week is we've had such good villains so far this season that evil Rip isn't really interesting. He somehow comes off as emo about times always screw it, so what's it matter? Let's just be a bad guy. He doesn't do bad guy very well, honestly. It doesn't come across as evil. Even when he killed Sarah, you're just like, that's the white cat. She has 3,000 lives. She's going to come back. I don't believe it. So it falls because if we didn't have, you know, the other three villains we have on this show, it might have been a little bit better. But the fact we didn't get any of them, we just got Rip running around. He just doesn't make a good, like, villain. He really comes off as the puppet now at this point. He's just fitting a place to gather things for them. He has no personality, which there's no reason for him not to have a personality when he came back. As far as Jax being team leader, how many times are we going to have a new person try to be team leader on this show? Can we stop doing that? Because I don't care. I actually like the idea of Sarah being the team leader. And she seems to be the one that I feel works the best as team leader. And when the others try, things never go well. It's like when someone else is put in charge of the Enterprise besides Picard, they're either going to blow the ship up or do something horrible. That's what happens every other time someone else gets to be team leader.
Can I just say, I wasn't going to interrupt you at all or any of you for this, but you brought up something which has bothered me about this show. As much as I really have liked Legends this season, but this whole business about team leader... And since we're talking about comic book shows, and since in our previous segment we, you know, tried to use that as a way of explaining or excusing something, you and me, we've read a lot of comic books in our day. You know, let's just say on the DC side, you know, a lot of, and with teams that may go under any number of combinations or have different members be focused on in different issues. You know, do you remember ever there being an issue of who's the leader in any specific issue? Because I don't remember that ever happening.
No.
Like, for example, the Justice League, just to give a really simple example, which was a team that could have anywhere from 12 to 14 to 18 freaking members, but but different issues would have, oh, there's only six of them in this issue, or only five of them in this issue, or only seven of them, and with different combinations of people. I never, ever, ever remember there ever being anything like, oh, well, is Batman's not here to lead us? Well, maybe we need... Where's Superman? Or anything like that. Never happened. I never saw that in the Teen Titans. I never saw it in any DC team book. I don't recall it being a situation in Marvel team books, but I'm not as... My memory isn't as strong with that stuff, so it might be. But
since much every issue of Avengers that has Hawkeye in it has Hawkeye being like busy because he wants to be the leader.
Also, like Cap and Iron Man always complain about who's leader. But oh, DC is much better at actually going, Superman is your leader. You listen to Superman.
I just
don't question it. Superman is your leader. Even Batman's going to go, hey, Supes, what are we doing? And then you'll get Batman to tell you what to do.
I just don't remember anyone leading, being the quote-unquote leader in a Justice League comic. Other than, like, the only time there was ever a leader is when someone's, like, leading a vote to vote in a new member.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when they're going to fight the bad guys, there's not, like, this one person tells everybody what they're supposed to do. I don't remember that really being the case.
Nope. They just kind of knew what they had to do, and they did it. Right. Flash is going to run fast. Green Lantern's going to make some weird objects. Batman's going to disappear and then suddenly show up and beat somebody. That's what they do. No one had to tell them that's how you do it. It's like, you don't have to tell people what their powers are good for. If you give out the scenario, everyone should be able to go, well, I should be able to do that.
All right, Captain Snark, let's go. So, Dan, what was your take on the evil Rip and such?
I must admit that I didn't really remember why he was being evil, at all. But I didn't mind it. I mean, you know, it was just kind of like, whatever to get through the episode. It didn't really affect my enjoyment of it one way or the other. It was just kind of there. I enjoyed what they're doing with the other characters far more.
Okay. I was about to say that that might be the most bizarre endorsement I've ever heard. It's like, it was just like, it didn't bother me because it was just like whatever to get to the rest of the episode. Like, they should have just had like a test pattern for, you know, like 30 seconds or 80 seconds at a time. And then, oh, now we're back to a scene with these other characters. It's funny because my issues aren't as much about the evil Rip the way Cade was. My issues were about the other storylines that he impacted being just like, oh, Sarah's going to die again. No, she's not. Why are you wasting my time with this? It's just, putting any of them in that kind of jeopardy is never going to work at this point because we're not believing it. It's just, it's not working. And especially that character of all characters. The Jack stuff, I like giving that actor something to do. And I like the idea of it, but the execution here, like, you know, he's just running around the Wave Rider hiding from, you know, the guy overacting his Rip, kind of like, whatever. It wasn't working for me.
Should have been, since this was their Christmas episode that they aired in February for, like, no reason at all, they should have, like, had Jax go, like, full Kevin McAllister instead of just, like, partial. Because, you know, setting up a bunch of traps had been kind of funny.
Yes.
Also, I honestly believe he could have taken Rip Hunter out. Rip Hunter isn't like filled with superpowers. He's just a human who had the ability to time travel because of a ship. He could have taken him.
I was a little confused that they've shown on the Wave Rider I've seen arsenals of stuff there. He couldn't find any weapons anywhere to fight Rip Hunter, who's just got a gun? Really? He's an athlete. He can't get the jump on this guy? Really? Ridiculous. Stupid. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Vicky, you want to say anything?
I don't know. You guys have pretty much covered it. Again, I was not... Sarah wasn't going to die. But I didn't have as much as of a problem with Jax being the leader. I mean, heck, he was a better leader than Stein was.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that. But again, it's like, why does this have to be a storyline at all? I'm just really, why is like, oh no, our leader's been injured. Who's going to lead us now? It's like, wait, what? That's the issue? It's idiots. Oh, so speaking of idiots, I'm skipping. Jason, did you want to say anything about this before I skip on? I'm sorry.
I thought that was a lead into Jason, honestly.
No, yeah. I was not doing that. No, 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 no.
You guys are thinking of the wrong Christmas movie. It's not Home Alone. It was Die Hard. That's what Jax was doing. He even took down one of the soldiers. That's what I was getting from that whole sequence, was that they weren't doing Home Alone, they were doing Die Hard.
I think you're both straining to find a Christmas movie comparison, all of which are much better than this limpid crap. So, but
I didn't say it was good. No. That was just my comparison that I got out of it.
Gotcha. So, topic number two. or basically the rest of the show, you know, the other legends, you know, Mick and George Washington, you know, Ray and the Rat, and the other two, which don't get me started on that one. So, Jason, I was really going to have you lead off with this, so you didn't really have to say the Die Hard crap, but what do you got to say about this stuff, if anything?
I think the best part about it was the Mick and George Washington stuff. I mean, it's always fun to see Rory get to do stuff out of his comfort zone, I guess you could say. He gets to be the quote patriot. He gets to be the American, how the rebels and stuff like that. I really enjoyed that. And he got a statue too.
So Vicky, I'll let you go earlier this time, so maybe you can amaze us with your thoughts.
Oh my gosh, the Nate and Amaya stuff got on my nerves so much. I mean, I haven't really... They kind of blindsided us with this thing with them with, like, for 5 seconds at the beginning of the episode, and then they're... I just... Oh my gosh. Just no. It's just... They're... No. I'm sick of it because they're trying to... It seems like they're trying to see how she works with every single guy on the team. It's stupid. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Just, I hate it so much. And she's... Go ahead.
No. I certainly don't want to interrupt you. I'll tell you this. This was one of my leading contenders for our new segment that we'll be dealing with later. But I'm going to rail on it now because it, again, made me so irritated beyond normal belief. This awful, idiotic romance in the biggest heavy quotes, air quotes of all time. It's the shittiest rom-com writing I've ever seen. Oh, look, there's powder on his nose. It's so cute. Oop, the ship rocked, and now you're in my arms. Hey, we need to get naked to keep warm. This is so enormously bad. And it just nonsensical. And all this ended up doing is reminding me how much they're really wasting the Amaya character, Vixen, on this show.
It is.
Because she's got, yes. You know what? She's one of the few people who has, actual powers on her own, or I guess the device gives her powers, that's true, the necklace, whatever, but she can do so much cool stuff, and instead she's doing this. And I like the actress, at least she's not Hawkgirl or anything like that, but this, I don't know if I say it came out of nowhere or not, but it was so useless and so stupid. It didn't make sense for so many reasons. Apparently, there's no urgency to try to go help, save George Washington or Rory. Oh, no, why don't we stay here and screw again? What? What the hell is going on here?
Yes, that's what got on my nerves so much, because we see her get so mission-focused, and then she's just, completely throws that out the window, and then 5 seconds later, oh, wait, no, we have to go after George Washington. What the heck? Oh, that got me really angry.
Yeah.
I think that's the closest I've gotten to a rant on this podcast.
My only complaint is that if she could turn into a seal and jump into the river, which was kind of cool, instead of banging, couldn't she just turn into a tauntaun or something to warm him up? Because I think that'd be more effective.
Only if they could have gutted the writer who came up with this idea and had his guts spill out on them. Where are we? I lost track because Vicky's rant just spun my head around. I forgot where we were up to. What show are we talking about? Legends, right? Okay. Since he just spoke, Dan, was there anything you wanted to say about the rest of the show? Pretty much.
I actually didn't mind the way that they used the other characters. I mean, yeah, this forced relationship type thing was, not necessary, but, whatever. It happens on TV shows sometimes. It's not going to, not going to get me down. This is, I don't know why I would expect anything different from these CW shows. So it isn't detracting from my enjoyment of everything else that was going on. And just with Flash, I thought that they managed to use, pretty much the entire cast and, good, interesting ways, if not the most original ways.
Okay. I'm getting the feeling there might not be anything else to say here. We can just move on to the scores. I mean, I could certainly rant a bit more about the episode, but I might save that for my actual grade. I don't know. So unless anyone else has something to say, I'm going to go to the scores now.
Oh, I got one thing. I like how they're using, when they're having historical figures on the show, they just, like, don't make any effort to have those Canadian actors act like they're a
bitch. Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you. You're talking about Canadian Cornwallis or Canadian George Washington.
No, I just don't have a speedy moment now. Okay, so let's get to the scores. Vicky, what are you going to give Legends this week?
I'll give it a 4.
Wow.
Other than my huge problem with my innate thing, I didn't have such major problems with it. So.
Okay, no, that's okay. Hey. I'm not what's his name over there. I'm not gonna try to change anyone's mind about their grades. So, Cade.
I think this is my lowest Legends score. I'm giving it a 3. I think that is the lowest I've given a Legends show so far.
Okay, alright. Jason, you actually did watch this one, so
it gets a 4. I enjoyed it. Uh-huh. I still think it's the best show out of the 4. Even on a down week, it's still a good show. Even with Nate and Amaya,
it's nice.
You get Ray as a tiny, guy the whole time.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. I should change my fucking grade now.
Listen, it doesn't work against me.
Fucking moron. No, I'm just fucking mocking you. Dan'll get a 6.8 now.
Dan's going to institute the 7. That's the first 7 we've had on the show.
No, I would give it a 6.9 if I was going to just throw things out the thing here, but I'm going to give it a 4. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't as good as it's been the last few weeks, but I liked the stuff they did, and I liked Mick palling around with Canadian George Washington.
They were really good together.
Well, I had a feeling that the excellent string we had of Legends of Tomorrow episodes was going to end at some point, and it certainly did here, because for me, take away maybe a couple moments of evil Rip, and even that wasn't so great, I don't think there was anything about this episode that was any more good or interesting than the typical crappy season 1 episode of the show, and I don't see how anyone could point to anything differently, because all these storylines were just insipid and just totally forgettable compared to the last few weeks. So I was so disappointed by so much in this episode. Fuck them. They got a 6 for me last week. You know what I'm giving them this week? 1.5. Don't rest on your laurels, jackasses. Do better. Alright. So speaking of resting on laurels, or resting in peace laurels, I don't know, let's move on to Arrow. I'll attempt to remain on target with our recap of Arrow this week. It was titled Bratva. Team Arrow finds out, I think from Lila at Argus, that General Walker, you know, the asshat who was trying to frame or murder, and or murder Diggle, I guess, is off in Russia trying to make a deal to sell a nuke to some Markovian terrorists. Now, apparently Argus can't do jack squat because it might cause an international incident, but, you know, sending in the mayor of a city the size of Seattle along with a ragtag bunch of amateur vigilantes should be far easier to keep hush-hush. But to get anything done in Russia, you must go through Bratva, and Ali has to go back to his thug-like ways of violent intimidation, which is such a change of pace from his normal day-to-day and night-to-night activities. Now, over the course of the episode, Diggle loses his temper, Felicity loses her ethics, and Rory loses the use of his magic rags after he absorbs the blast of a nuclear device. And in the closely paralleling flashback, we see Talia helping Ali to get that much closer to his return to Starling City as the Hooded Vigilante. Meanwhile, Quentin Lance is back, and they decide to subject the recovering alcoholic to the worst temptation imaginable, having to hang out for an entire evening with Renee. Now, how Lance doesn't end up at the bottom of a bottle by that end of that night, I'll never know. Now, other than that, the new Black Canary is already fitting in better than half the cast for the past 5 years, and we end up with the reporter Ali is now finally banging, pretty much figuring out that Ali and Green Arrow must be the same person, since apparently no one's ever been able to take an even decent halfway decent photo or video of the vigilante over the past 5 years. Okay, so tried to speed through that one fast so we could get to the topics of the evening. The first one really should be all about Team Arrow going to Russia. So, why don't you kick things off for us, Dan?
There wasn't any Drago, so I don't really want to talk about it at all. No, I thought it was cool. You know, they're trying to work towards unifying their storylines and using some of the flashback stuff, which hasn't been annoying this season. So, while the storyline was a natural continuation of the stuff we've seen, even if it hasn't been super compelling with Diggle, I thought it was kind of something different to do.
Right. Jason, I think you just watched it a few moments ago, so what did you think?
My main takeaway from it was I thought it was hilarious how they left Renee behind because he might start an international incident. And one of the first things they do is they get into a shootout over there. I mean, they might as well just take him along with them, right? I mean, if they're going to go in and start firing off weapons in Russia, have a guy that's main thing is guns.
Yeah, but they were wearing cool black masks. It's okay. It's no problem.
Yeah. It made no difference. I still thought I thought that was dumb.
No. Cade?
I think the thing I hated the most about the episode was Rory Bowers, because I've really come to like his character being on the show. I liked having Ragman around, and they, for some reason, decided we need to write him out of the show for a while. So they have him do that moment, and then he loses powers. And I'm like, he's the one of the group they just added that I like the most. I mean, the new Black Canary certainly coming along. I like her character. But at this point, Rory, of the three that were already there, was the one who I always found I liked, because he wasn't trying to be over the top like Curtis. He's not Renee, for God's sakes, thank goodness. And he also seemed the most personable of them. But yeah, they'll just get rid of him for a few episodes till they need to bring him back. Also, this Felicity Diggle diving into darkness thing. Why? Didn't we just do that with Diggle? We have to do it again? Oh, no, that's right. We wrapped it up in one episode. We took care of it. We figured that out. We knew how to speed that one back up.
Does it mean speed weed bit?
Them getting rid of Ragman has budgetary concerns written all over it, doesn't it?
If that was the case, I'm okay with it. I don't think it's the case.
Did you notice that even when Ragman was in the episode, they kind of cheaped out with how they did the Ragman stuff in this episode?
Yeah.
I was very aware of that. It was like a practical effect used, which looked kind of chintzy, and it was done from far away because I think they wanted to avoid the cost of, I guess, CGI or something. Something must have blown out. Something either coming up or has already passed, which has blown out their budget. So they're having to cheap out here and there.
Probably.
I kind of just wish they could have come up with a way just to keep him around, and because he's an interesting character, just as a person.
Yeah.
And they've shown that, you know, he's the one who seems to be aware of things, like what's going on with Felicity and other things. So maybe that's the guy you want to keep on the show and just, you know, hold people's feet to the fire or something. Or maybe just because I like hearing the occasional Yiddish word on the show. I don't know. But it's a shame, but I suspect it is a budgetary thing more than anything else. They're like, oh, you know, we can't really afford that this year because, you know, that Prometheus mask really costs a lot of money, apparently. Vicky, did you enjoy the Russian stuff this week?
I did. I didn't care for the John going down a dark path again thing, but other than that, I thought it provided for a couple of interesting character moments. You know, the talk with Ollie and Dinah in the van, where she's like, what are you doing? Prometheus is getting in your head. Don't listen to him. He's stupid.
That was a really strong scene. I agree with you on that one. That was one of the better scenes in the episode, I thought.
And then I don't know. I might differ from you guys. I find the Felicity going down this path interesting because it's not some, like, we had the brief in her flashback episode kind of that, but we haven't seen a whole lot of that from her, and so it provides her with, you know, I think an interesting story.
I haven't been negative about the Felicity thing. Actually, I haven't said anything about it myself. I like the idea of it. I just I just think they need to handle it a little bit better, because they're presenting in such a way as like, they're actually making it a bit more histrionic, like, oh, she's going down this dark thing because she threatened this guy. It was like,
yeah,
no, it's I think we're making a mountain out of a molehill here, you know. And it's I think I'm more in agreement with you. I like the idea that she actually has this access to screw over all these people who are evil people. Is it really much different? It's certainly not as bad as, you know, a certain guy with his list of people in a book that he goes off and kills for about a year or two. At least she's kind of trying to do something good with this information, as opposed to, you know, WikiLeaking it or some bullshit like that. So I think the stuff that was a bit overstated. And if there is a future scene between her and Ollie where this becomes like a, I can't believe you did this, like, really? Really?
Okay. I want to clarify my thing about that one, though. I don't actually see what Felicity is doing as going down a dark path. I have the problem with them being presented that way. Like, yeah. What she's doing far more seems something Oracle-like from the comics. Having access to all this and using it in the way you can to help out. It's the fact they want to paint it like hacking is bad. Ooh. Right. That's my problem with it.
The problem with what they did in this episode, and Rory getting all whatever, is like, no, be upset with her if she actually did something to cause the suffering of this person's family. But
right.
She's giving a threat that we know damn well she's not actually going to do. It's called a bluff, you moron.
Yeah.
So it was.
Well, what she's doing is no different than like police detective does when they're like, you know, interrogating somebody and trying to get them to like make a deal or whatever. It's like no different than that, like any of that in real life or what we've seen in all these shows. So yeah. I don't really see why they're just being all obnoxious about it.
Yeah.
I did think the conversation with her and Rory in the van was another one of those good character moments. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so Uncle Ben, great power, great responsibility.
Wow, I never would have made the Peter Parker connection there. I just feel that if they could have taken it just a little bit further, she could have defended what she was doing a lot more logically in that moment, instead of it being this lingering thing. And then Ollie shows up and it's like, well, Ollie, you know, he's like, he's going to tell on her because he's a big tattletale. That played really weird to me, quite frankly.
I didn't notice it until the recap at the beginning of the episode. But did you notice that last week that the hacker that gave her the information was Abigail Hobbs from Hannibal, Scott?
Oh no! Is really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit! I did not realize that was her.
You know, we suck, but we got it.
Awesome! That's cool. I mean, I just realized the other day that the girl who plays Kara in the opening credits of Supergirl is the girl who's on that that new Netflix show, the Lemony Snicket thing. I realized, oh, that's the same girl. Oh, look at that, Supergirl. Yeah, no one cares. All right, so.
I am gonna miss Rory because I like his character.
Well, he might. I'm assuming he will come back at some point this season. Yeah. I mean, they wrote it in such a way where he's gonna be like. I don't think they decide. Oh, Ragman is, you know, rags are now nuclear and they'll never work. We won't get into the whole. Wait, why isn't he radio? Oh, whatever. It's a TV show. Who cares? We'll let it go.
Maybe he'll come back with a costume that's just like made of vacant warehouses, because then they can definitely afford that.
Son of a bitch. Too good a line. Or maybe they could actually, you know, dress in the way he's supposed to dress. Anyway, so next. Hey, Quentin Lance came back. We haven't seen Quentin Lance in, it seems like, weeks or months or I don't know how long. Vicky, were you happy to see Quentin back on the show?
I was. I adore Paul Blackthorne. I think he does a really good job with the character. So it was good to see Lance. And just seeing him and Renee interact just made me crack up so much. Because those are two characters that you would not expect to get along. And, oh, geez, surprise, they don't. But it was amusing.
Now, Cage, you were just being kind of negative about Renee, but did you have a problem with the scenes between him and Lance in this episode?
No, because it's actually, I found someone he can play off against that I don't mind having the scenes with. Because most people don't have that way of like standing up to him or won't. Whereas Quentin Lance, who I'm so glad is back, because I do like Paul Blackthorne on the show. He's probably been the most consistent person on the show generally. Even though he's been away, he just, his character, he brought the character seeming a little, he's like revived from coming out of rehab. He's got some energy to him. It was nice to see. And the scenes they had together, I hope they don't constantly do it, but they played off each other quite well. It was, there was at least some chemistry between the two and how they interacted. And that made those scenes good to watch.
Yeah, I'd actually, as annoying as I find the Renee character like 90% of the time on the show, it worked here. It surprised me that it worked. But, and maybe it's also because I missed the Quentin Lanz character so much. And I mean, the only time I don't like Quentin Lanz is when he's just off getting drunk or something. It's like, oh, here we go again. But I like him on the show otherwise. I mean, I'm still really missing Thea on the show. I think the show is really missing her presence. She's been kind of useless this season to begin with, you know, as we've seen. And maybe that's why we haven't seen her, but hopefully they will bring her back in a much more improved way than she had been the first part of the season. Do either of the other gentlemen want to weigh in about Mr. Lanz before we move on?
No, definitely. I just think that was nice that Renee gave him that little speech that he was the reason why he went on the straight and narrow.
Yes.
It's because of Quentin.
I was torn on that because on one hand, I liked the idea of it. And then there was part of me that was, for a moment there, I was like, wait, is this true? Or is he coming up with a bullshit story here? There was something about it just it kind of coming out of nowhere. It's like, I went along with it because I liked the story of it. But there was that part in the voice in the back of my head, it's like, really, we're finding out about this now? Just and coincidentally, he happened to be that cop. I was like, all right. I'll go with it, but there's a little bit of kind of bullshit there to me. I'm just saying.
Yeah, they definitely use Renee nicely this week. And I think whenever they do that, we should refer to him as Good Dog. So.
All right, then. I can't think of really anything else to talk about here. I mean, the flashbacks kind of felt like they were almost like running right parallel with the actual storyline. And they didn't really seem to take up that much time in the episode, it felt like to me. I mean, it seemed like we kind of zipped in and out of them pretty quickly this time around. I enjoyed them, but there wasn't... I'd be shocked if they took up more than 5 or 6 minutes of time in the entire episode. Did it seem any longer to you, Cade?
No, they seemed like they paced them really well to give you small bits that paralleled. But yeah, right. Probably if you added them all up and just had one thing of it, maybe 7 minutes. Right. But 5 to 7 minutes sounds about what we actually had, which I think probably is the strong point because the flashbacks aren't lingering for like entire scenes this season. Like they've had in the past where you had like a 10-minute flashback sequence, it felt like.
Right.
They're giving you small bits of things. So you get you're not getting bored with it. It's like here, quick, move it through. So you get the flashback, you get the story, you still get the intention, but it doesn't drag down the rest of the show.
Right. I think it's really helping them that, you know, especially like in this episode, as I think Dan referred to earlier, that you have these, like the past and present storylines are colliding now. And
right, yeah.
Like in this episode, everything from the fact that they're actually in Russia, so you're bringing up stuff with Anatoly and whatever, all the way up to the end where the reporter is finding out stuff that links the Oliver to Green Arrow to Bratva to Russia and all that kind of stuff. It's all coming together in a much better way than they have for the last couple of years. The closest I can think before that, I guess I'd have to go back to season 2 maybe, because I think the flashbacks then did deal with the Slade yeah. Wilson character while he was, you know, the big bad of the season. So at least there was a connection there. They just seem to not do it as well in seasons 3 and 4, in my estimation, probably all of our estimations, whatever. Okay. I feel like we can actually get to the scores here then, unless there's something I'm forgetting about this episode, but I don't think there is.
Nope.
Don't think so. Okay. So Vicky, what was your score for this week's episode of Arrow?
I'm going to give it a 4. It was a very solid episode.
Cool. Cade.
I give it a 4 as well. Arrow is pretty consistent this season.
Jason?
I'm going to go with a 3.
Ooh. Interesting. Daniel?
I'm also going to give it a 4. Just like the previous two shows that we talked about, I thought they have done a better than average use of using all the members of the ensemble, even if we don't like what they're doing in some instances. I think that they're giving everybody room to do some stuff, for which is a nice change. So 4.
Okay, what did I give the Flash? I don't remember now. Did I give the Flash a 3 or a 2.5? I think I gave it a 3.
Gave it a 3.
Okay. I wouldn't call this a great episode for any number of reasons. I did really like a lot of it. Like I said, I really liked the way the storylines kind of met each other, like seeing Lance again. And even though we didn't have Prometheus at all, his presence was still felt, like in that conversation with Black Canary. Can we call her Black Canary? I'm going to call her Black Canary. I don't care. And I unlike certain other shows, I did feel more of a sense of some forward progression here in terms of both plot and character. So I'm going to say, in an incredibly lackluster week for me, I'll give it my highest grade of the week, which would not some weeks would be my lowest. I'm going to give it a 3.5. I just dropped my soda. Wow. Okay, cool. All right, so now that we are done with those four shows, it is time for...
The Speed Weed Hands-Off Moment of the Week.
Yeah, it's our new and favorite segment that we do every week. Do we need to explain to the listeners again what this is, Dan, or do you think they can pick up on it?
No, I think they'll get the point that these are just the moments where Speedweed just wasn't quite making sure everything was grade A premium quality.
Hopefully you all know what we're talking about when we say Speedweed, but if you were listening last week, even though I listened to that explanation, and I wasn't really clear what it was myself. But yeah, exactly. So let's just start with Jason, and what was your Speedweed hands-off moment of the week?
Mine comes from Arrow, and I thought that the airport that they arrived in Russia just looked absolutely ridiculous. Not good set design at all.
it was pretty crappy.
Oh my god, we could just have a freaking Arrow set design thing every week then. You know what the airport was, don't you? It was just an abandoned warehouse. That's all it was. Vicky, what was yours?
All right, this is kind of more of a costume moment for me, but in Supergirl, when they had Alex in her outfit ready to go to the concert, and then she's like, "Oh no, I'm gonna go talk to Kara." So she treks all the way to the DEO and changes into her work uniform just to have this conversation. It made no sense.
That is brilliant. I didn't even realize that. Well done. That's so stupid. I wish I saw that. That's great. Oh, that's my favorite one. Cade.
Okay. So when you're picking locations out, sometimes you should think things through so that the airport hangar from Arrow, the very specific one where Diggle caught Walker, is not the same hangar we saw in 3 different shows back to back to back in your crossover, because that's the warehouse where the team all met up. The minute I saw it, I'm like, oh, that's that warehouse. I understand you have to reuse locations, but that one was figured so prominently 3 nights in a row, it's hard not to see it when you spot it.
Oh my god, that's it's awesome. It reminds me of how, like, the first season or two of Arrow, they kept, every time they would do an exterior shot of Starling City, it was basically B-roll footage from Batman Begins.
I
noticed it, and it's like, and they kept using it over and over, and it's like, hey guys, if you don't want to keep being compared to Batman, maybe don't use footage from a Batman movie, you fucking morons. So, the one I'm always looking forward to now, Dan.
All right, and Supergirl. And this may be something where I missed a plot point, but I don't think I did. But when they're in the DEO headquarters, and they're trying to figure out who is a white Martian and who isn't by putting their hand up to a flame. And for some reason, John's afraid to like put his hand to the flame, like he doesn't know if he's a fucking white Martian or not.
Have they addressed that in the show yet?
I thought they mentioned it. I feel once like it must have.
I think green Martians are afraid of fire, like deathly afraid. It's a giant fear. That's why he was afraid of it. But I can't recall now if they've addressed it, so I can understand why you felt that way. The fact I can't remember if they covered it.
I thought there was something he specifically couldn't do in some episode because of a fire connection, but I can't remember what it is now. Yeah, it was still fun.
But that enough to point out, that's why it's a works, because we can barely remember if they covered it.
Yeah. Look, I wish I had focused on those two idiots who were at the... Who's the white Martian thinks they were really horrible, too. Oh, man. Who's left? Oh, me. Oh, shit. Okay. Wow. There was an abundance of riches this week, or stupid riches. So much we've already covered on all these different shows. You know, Supergirl and the Flash and whatever. And you know what? Although it's already been said, I don't care. It's still the one I want to blast off on. I'm going to go to Legends. Must every historical character be portrayed on this show like it was the cliff notes of a third grader's book report? How hard is it to write a remotely decent Washington or Grant or Einstein or anybody, a character that will have less than 10 minutes of screen time? How hard is that? How hard is it to find an actor who, beyond being not being Canadian necessarily, but remotely looks the part or has actually an iota of presence on camera? Every single time. This should not be that difficult. I don't mind that... Hey, look, if you have Abe Lincoln on your show, I don't expect you to go get Daniel Day-Lewis for it, you know? But you can certainly do a decent job. We've watched any number of TV shows that get fine, decent actors to do, you know, one-off things. They don't need to be names. Just, there's 1,000 million working actors out there. Pick one who can actually do something and get a writer who can actually write the damn part. Ugh, so bad.
At this point, I'm starting to think, like, maybe they're just doing it on purpose because they do it every single time, and it's just, like, getting to be almost hilarious. And next week, we'll see, like, skinny, white, Canadian, like, King Arthur, and it's just going to be, like, you know, completely unconvincing.
I just don't want any more famous historical figures on the show anymore, then. Then I won't care. But every time you do it, it's just, I'm painfully aware of how bad these people are. I don't care if you're George Washington or George Lucas. It's the one thing that they've really consistently failed at on this show. I mean, I'm at a loss to come up with one that I thought was even remotely decent on the show. I can't think of one right now. All right. So, I think we've actually covered all four shows, and we got our licks in here as well. That was fun. And a super brisk one, too. Cool. Something in the air tonight, I guess. Is there anything else you guys want to weigh in on here before we get to the wrap-up?
Nope.
Ah, let's wrap it up.
Wow. This is so unlike us. Cool. All right. So if you enjoyed this podcast, then you should enjoy checking out our Facebook page as well. It's the Serious TV Drama Podcast. You can find the page, like it, and join any number of conversations there. You can also find us on iTunes the very same way. Go to iTunes, type in the Serious TV Drama Podcast. You can subscribe to our feed as well as rate and review us there. And finally, you can also follow us on the Twitter, where our handle is at STVD Podcast. It's STVD as in Serious TV Drama. Dan and I actually released a podcast just earlier today for the comic book faithful out there. We are going to be taking a shot at covering Legion every week. We loved the premiere, right, Dan? I would say that was quite... I don't think we were surprised, but it was really something, right?
No, it's really good, and it's the kind of thing that the more I think about it, the more it is raised in my esteem.
Yeah, I mean, today I can think of about three or four people, friends of mine on Facebook, who watched it, who have no superhero leanings whatsoever, and they all said, "Love this! I love this so much." So it's that, it is that kind of show which is just going to break through. I mean, you don't need to be a superhero fan at all to like that show. It's got nothing. It's really got little to nothing to do with it, I think. So look for that podcast. It's out there already. We did a nice little job on that one. And Vicky, don't want to forget to promote the website that you work for. So what's that again?
Yes. It's popculthq.com.
I thought you were going someplace else with that for a minute.
No. I thought she was going to change one of her scores from the previous episode.
I can still barely breathe, so that's affecting my talking.
Awesome. You have the sulfur and stone in the air near you.
All right. I am going to start the string of good nights, because holy crap, we're going to finish in under an hour and a half. So thank you guys for joining the crew once again this week. Sorry if I was a little bit too negative. But then again, Cade, I think you stole my thunder. I was planning to be Mr. Negative, and you kind of beat me to it too much. So screw you.
Yes, indeed.
And Jason, is there something you want to say or screw up this week before we go any further?
I'm going to try not to screw it up again. But I hope you enjoyed episode 157 of the Serious TV Drama Podcast. And tune in next time. We're going to be doing something else.
You're talking about 158.
Yeah, 158.
Yes.
Could be related to a girlfriend.
Could be. She might be a little crazy.
All right. Will there be singing?
Me and you will be discussing that shortly, whether there'll be any singing. And on that bizarre, disjointed note, I will say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The monarch of motion, the sultan of speed, the wizard of whiz, oh yes indeed. Go from here to China in a no time flat, beat the speed of light and you can't beat that. The Flash,
the Flash, the Flash,
meet the mighty Flash,
the Flash, the Flash,
in a fight he'll smash and crash, smash a whole gang of crooks or schnooks. Hey, he'll just clobber any kind of bad guy, thief or robber, the world's fastest human, yeah man, the Flash,
the unbeatable Flash, the unbeatable Flash.
Is his real name, works with the police, justice is his aim, wears a ring with the Flash's uniform in it when danger threatens.